Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Anything that we say on this show, me or any of my guests, means anything to you, if you'd like to join us and tell us that, if it's something that you think is particularly hits you between the eyes, so to speak, it'd be nice if you want to call us and let us know that. If you disagree with us, if you think there's something we're saying is not right, if you've got another angle, this is your show, 888-822-8255. Joe Bailey is with us. I promised you he'd be here, didn't I? We just had a little bit of trouble catching up with him. Let me tell you a little bit about Joe. He's a licensed psychologist with over 24 years of experience in psychotherapy, marriage, and family counseling. He's a teacher, a seminar leader, and a consultant to healthcare organizations, government, and business. His latest book is called Slow Down to the Speed of Life, co-authored with best-selling author, I should say, Richard Carlson. But his most recent book is called The Speed Trap. And let me introduce you now to Joe Bailey. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing, Jim?
It's good to have you with us.
A little late.
That's okay. No problem at all. But I appreciate you joining us. I'm not sure if you were able to listen toward the end there, but I was talking about my theory of the fact that you don't have to, my thought, I should say, that you don't have to be a workaholic to be successful in small business. Do you ever work with workaholics?
Well, I just actually, it's interesting. I really loved your piece, Jim, but what you had to say first of all, and secondly, when you were talking, I was just thinking about a group of guys. I just did a retreat for a corporation for the top management of this fairly large national, or actually international company, just this week. And the reason that this division, they asked me to work with this division, is that this is a group of guys, really great guys, truly dedicated to their jobs, but their lives have become so out of balance that even their employer, who loves to have them work hard,
right,
felt that they were really out of balance. They were working 70, 80, 90 hours a week, 18 hours a day often, many of them. And they had it kind of built into their whole mentality as a group that this was a really good thing. It was like a whole group of alcoholics reinforcing that, drinking is really good for you. It really isn't hurting us that bad.
It was almost like a competition, huh?
Yeah, kind of like the guys hanging out at the corner bar, I don't know what our wives are complaining about, And that's where it started on Monday morning. They were really not very open to what I had to say. But by Wednesday afternoon when we finished the retreat, you really saw that these human guys had realized that their lives really had been out of balance. So many of them had spouses that had very serious illnesses that they were ignoring because they were at work.
Wow.
So many of them were in their 50s and saying things like, I've raised my kids and they're grown now and I really didn't spend time with them. I didn't really listen to my kids when they needed me.
Mm-hmm.
And their conscience was really bubbling to the surface, and they realized how, it wasn't too late though, they could turn their lives around and they could regain their balance. And each one of them called their mate on the second night of the retreat and had a very long heart-to-heart with them about recommitting themselves to their marriages and their relationships. And they realized that true success in life wasn't just being financially successful and contributing to the business world, because they all were indeed that. They were the top in their industry and wonderful guys, a great group of friends. They had a lot going for them. The one thing they didn't have going for them was physical health and relationship health, and they realized that that was an important piece of the picture of success. And the last thing was their own spiritual development, that had really fallen by the wayside for many of them. They kind of gave lip service to it. They really hadn't listened to their heart and listened to their conscience and let that guide them in life, rather than being driven by this tremendous need to feed their ego and be successful and achieve, but not to really be successful in the truest sense of the word.
You really don't appreciate sometimes the importance of balance until things don't go so well in your life and you need people to support you. And that business may not be there to do that, probably won't be there to do that, because it's a thing. It's not people. And you need to have people around you, and that's where you derive a lot of your balance from your wives, from your husbands, from your children, your friends, and others. Joe, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to be right back with Joe Bailey, the author of The Speed Trap, 888-822-8255. We're back. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. And Joe Bailey is our special guest and our friend. He's the author of the new book called The Speed Trap, How to Avoid the Frenzy of the Fast Lane. And Joe, when are you celebrating the 4th of July? Are you doing it today or Monday?
I'm celebrating it on Sunday.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I mean the off-day thing.
Oh, the off-day thing.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I'm off now. I'm off today, and I'm off on Monday.
Well, now, Joe, that was mean. You didn't have to tell me that. The rest of us are going to have to work. In fact, some of us may have to work every day. In fact, we'll be here, right? James and I, my producer, James Pearson, the best in the world, will be here on, obviously, we're here this morning. We're also going to be here Monday morning on the 5th. And we're going to kind of celebrate our 4th of July.
My heart goes out to you, Jim.
Hey, listen, we're just hardcore dedicated. I guess, and I can hear somebody in my audience say, "Hey, Blassingame, I thought she said not to be a workaholic." But
I've
been accused
of that too.
Yeah, yeah. But
working hard doesn't mean you're a workaholic. There's times when life demands us of that, and it feels like the right thing to do. But then something will come in inside. And say, "Hey, Joe, it's time to slow down.
Yeah.
I need a break." And I just finished a 3-month book tour, and so I'm celebrating.
So you deserve a day off, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, we'll be here, folks, on the 4th, and or on the 5th, I should say, which is Monday morning. And I want to remind you that Ron Browning and maybe one other person from the VFW are going to be with me to talk about the 4th of July, the importance of it, and we'll just be talking about those kinds of things, about what gave rise to the 4th of July, the importance of that date. And also after that, we're going to be visiting with Bill Beach, who is with the Heritage Foundation. And Bill is, I met Bill in Washington when I was there in May, and looking forward to have him on. So that's the show we're going to have we're going to have for the 5th of July, which is where we'll be celebrating essentially the 4th of July. Joe, your book, The Speed Trap, How to Avoid the Frenzy of the Fast Lane, is a great book, and I've enjoyed having it as part of my library and spending some time in it. Talk to us about what you call a speed trap. What is a speed trap?
Well, the speed trap is what so many people in our world today are caught up in. We're in a hurry. We're feeling overwhelmed with our life. We feel like we don't have enough time in a day to get everything done. We have a feeling of constant rush, of stress, of anxiety, a feeling of our mind just kind of juggling all these things on our to-do list. And what's happened is that instead of it just being something that periodically happens, people are living in that state most of the time or much of the time. And I don't just mean small business owners or employees, but even people working out of the home, people, housewives, moms, people, whether it's balancing all the demands of getting the kids to the soccer practice or the challenges of running a business, people are feeling an overload. And so the reason I wrote this book was to give people an understanding of some principles to how to quiet down their mind in the midst of the storm, because we're not going to slow down the pace of today's modern technological world. The world is going faster. We're driving our cars faster. We're traveling faster. We can communicate faster than ever before.
You know, Joe, I was just thinking as you were saying all that, every time I get a new computer, it's faster than the other one.
Yeah.
Now, when I get that computer, it being faster than the other one, then I think that it's great, and it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, until I get the next one, and then I want to throw rocks at that one because it's not fast enough.
Yeah.
The big computer that I have on my desk was real fast when I got it. It was the fastest one I'd ever owned. But recently I bought a laptop, which was a lot faster. And so I use it at home. I use it when I travel. And so now when I go to my computer that's on my desk, it's too slow because it doesn't bring things up as fast as my laptop is. And so you get surrounded by all those kinds of things that really are very productive and help you in your lives, things that make your food faster and all, you know, microwaves and all that sort of thing. But our bodies are still the same bodies, aren't they?
Right.
We're not
built to go as fast as our computers.
Our minds and our bodies are still the same bodies that they were, in my case, 40 or 50 years ago.
Exactly. And the problem is that it's not very satisfying to juggle all that in your head all the time, because it doesn't feel good to be under a state of stress. But it's not necessary either, and that's really the message of my book. There's another way of thinking. There's a proper way to use our minds, a healthy way to use our minds, that allows us to operate in the fast pace of today's society, but to do it from a state of wisdom and common sense and a calm in the eye of the storm. And that's what I teach people about in the book, is how do you stay calm? Because that's really what allows you as a business owner or a manager or an entrepreneur to have a clear mind, a sense of perspective, an ability to maintain your vision and to lead other people. If you don't have that, you're always just micromanaging. You're reacting to all the details in life.
Well, Joe, stand by. Folks, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get Joe to talk to us about how to slow down to what he calls the speed of life, how to live in the moment. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 39 After. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. Welcome back. It's 44 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Joe Bailey is our special guest. He's the author of The Speed Trap, How to Avoid the Frenzy of the Fast Lane. And, Joe, you've written some other books. Remind us of some of those.
Well, my first book was called The Serenity Principle, and that was a book applying these same principles to recovery from alcoholism and other addictions.
Hmm.
You know, how to have a quality sobriety, not just sober, but also really experience serenity in your life.
Is it in print?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, at Harper Collins. Harper Row is
the
publisher.
And others?
And the second book was Slowing Down to the Speed of Life with Richard Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
And that was out 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's still on the bookstands now.
All right. And of course, the new one is The Speed Trap, How to Avoid the Frenzy of the Fast Lane. Now, are these books available in bookstores and online?
Yeah, they're available everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, you shouldn't have any problem getting them. I know they're all online, and I think Walden's is running a special on them this month.
Oh, good.
They're out on the fronts of most Barnes & Noble.
Good. Outstanding. Let's talk about how to slow. Tell us about some ways to slow down to the speed of life.
Well, the first and the most important thing that I tell all my clients and people that I work with in business is that the first thing you have to remember is that it's an inside-out world, that the world that you see out there is not coming from out there. It's coming from the inside. It's coming from how you're thinking in the moment. You can have 100 people in the same traffic jam, and they're all experiencing it differently because they're all having different thoughts. You can have a layoff at a company, and you'll have 1,000 employees laid off, and each one of them will experience it differently. Some will be grateful. Some will be devastated. Some will be angry. Some will be sad. Some will be accepting and see it philosophically. So each person, depending on how they're thinking in the moment, is creating their moment-to-moment reality. So that's the most important thing to remember, is what's the source of my experience? It's my thought, my mind, and my consciousness. The second thing to remember is to slow down is the importance of listening in our lives. And I don't just mean listening to the content, I mean a deep listening with your heart. People listen with their heart. They're able to hear when they're out of balance. They're able to hear when they're starting to stress out, when they're getting too much on their plate, when they need to reflect and back off and kind of recalibrate their business, their priorities, their objectives, their own state of health.
If I could interject something here,
sure.
Just a personal note. When my daughter, who's my oldest child, was 18 months old, prior to having children, it was, you know, my wife and I, and we were both working and I played a lot of golf, and I used to hunt in the wintertime. And so I was gone a lot, doing hunting and either working or hunting or playing golf. And I loved all of those things. So anyway, we had a daughter, when she was about 18 months old, one day I just went in the bedroom. I had been wandering around the house one morning, just in some Bermuda shorts, not without a shirt on. And so I remember the air conditioner came on, and I went in the bedroom to put a shirt on. And my little daughter toddled in there and said, "Bye, Daddy." And I realized at that moment that I had been gone too much.
Wow.
I mean, she didn't have any idea what she was saying, but as far as she was concerned, you know, she knew what happens when Dad put his shirt on. He was out of there. And I don't know why that just hit me between the eyes. And you know what? From that moment on, I didn't hunt or play golf for 13 years.
Oh, my goodness.
I was a golfaholic.
You woke up.
I was a golfaholic, and I didn't hunt or play golf for 13 years. I said, the next time I play golf will be when my children can play with me. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, I've never regretted that, because you know what? My golf game is not nearly as important as my relationship with my children. And anyway, reminded me about that.
Well, I think so often parents don't listen to their kids until it's too late. I just was at Littleton a few weeks ago and talking with many of the parents there and the teachers and, you know, people in the community, and I came away from there believing that the biggest problem was that people weren't listening. People weren't listening to their kids. They weren't listening to themselves. They were so caught up in the busy success cycle.
There were a lot of tips out there, weren't there?
There were a lot of them. Yeah, I just finished an article on Littleton, my reflections on that, and in there I talk about how we really need to slow down and get our priorities straight. And it's an innocent thing. I mean, we want to be happy, we want to be successful, and there's nothing wrong with that. We just have to have it in balance and in perspective.
One of the things that you talk about in your book that I like a lot is the promise of breaking out of the speed trap. These are some things that you will get, and that's in the early part of your book. And one of the things you talk about is you will learn how to slow down and enjoy each moment.
Yeah.
And then you move on and talk about you will learn to find calm inside in the midst of today's hectic world. And then the next one, and there's several of these folks, you will begin to trust what your wisdom is guiding you through life. You will begin to trust that your wisdom is guiding you through life every step of the way. Folks, these are the kinds of affirmations that you'll find in this book, and they're not just pithy sayings, folks. There's science to back this up, Joe's perspectives, the things he's learned. I recommend The Speed Trap to you by Joe Bailey, How to Avoid the Frenzy of the Fast Lane. He's going to be back with me in just a few minutes to wrap up the hour. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our friend Joe Bailey, and we're slowing down to the speed of life. And people who know me know that I need to do that. I need to slow down a little bit. And it's just my nature, Joe. I'm wired that way. I'm revved up all the time, and I like to slow down. And one of the things, though, that I really would like to focus on as we finish up the hour here, Joe, is something that really causes us all to get wired up about, and that's worrying. And you've got a whole chapter. Chapter 6 in your book is called Breaking the Worry Cycle. Give us a few minutes on that.
Well, the reason people worry is that they want to have control over the unknown. And so what we do is we think about all the possible scenarios. We play it out in our mind. And all we're doing is using our imagination and fear. You add imagination to fear, and you get worry. You get worry, you get stress. Worry will keep you awake at night. Worry will eat away your stomach lining. Worry will wrinkle your forehead, and it will keep you from having insights. Worry is a way of using the mind that shuts down the source to insight, realizations, ideas that are going to actually help you create the future in a really positive way. Worry is taking all the worst things that ever happened to you in your life and catastrophizing and projecting those into the future.
That's a new word. I don't think I've ever heard that one before.
I like that, don't you?
Catastrophizing.
Have you coined that word? I don't know if I coined it, but I may have.
I've never heard that word before.
I'll take credit for it, unless someone else is that I didn't create.
Joe, you say that worry is a habit for many people. My mother is like that. My mother is a professional worrier. She has a card that certifies her as a professional worrier.
Well, my mom has a PhD in it.
Listen, my mother. One time I was leaving to go off in the army. I was leaving my house. I was married at the time. I was leaving to go to report to active duty, and I called my mother just one last time to say goodbye, and she said, "Oh, I thought you'd already left. I was already starting to worry about you." She said that. That's a true story, folks. She's a professional.
Yeah, and it's the interesting thing about worriers that as soon as they're done worrying about one thing. It's like a cafeteria plate, you know,
yeah.
You pick it up and there's another one right there.
But you know, in small business, we have a lot of things to worry about, a lot of things. And sometimes worry can be a little bit of a tool that you can use. You know, if you think about something and you see in fact, when we do our business plans, we actually have a section on threats that we develop. And you know, inside of those threats is a lot of worry. How do we deal with that?
Well, it's not that you don't need to prepare for the future, and it's not that you don't need to consider possibilities, but you've got something built into you. Each person does, called that wisdom. You talked about that a minute ago, that
mm-hmm.
wisdom is with us every step of the way. And wisdom is what helps us, like intuition, that helps us foresee the future. But when you get a little inkling inside that you need to do something about problem X or problem Y, your intuition, your wisdom is going to let you know when you need to do that. But then you can take it off of your mind once you've done what you need to do about it. What most people do is they procrastinate. They think about something, but they don't really do anything about it. They just run it over and over again in their head. It's not that you shouldn't listen to those inklings. It's just that you shouldn't use busy analytical thinking to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to solve problems based on worry. Worry is gonna obscure your view of reality and what you need to do to solve it.
Joe, that's got to be the last word. Thank you very much. You
great to
really,
talk again.
You really contributed a lot to us today. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
Okay, great.
Have a good one. Congratulations on the book.
Thanks.
Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.